This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, I'm Hanif Baharuddin, and this is GG Well Played, BFM's video game show. In the spirit of festivities, we'll be sharing some couch co-op games that you should check out for wholesome multiplayer fun with your friends and family. But before that, here's Daryl Ong with the latest updates from the industry.
All right, first up, some bad news for Little Big Planet's fans. Sony has confirmed that Little Big Planet 3 servers have officially been shut down indefinitely. This confirms what fans have feared since January, when the game servers for the PS4 were taken down temporarily after a wave of DDoS attacks, which suspended online features, a move that now has been made permanent. Given that Little Big Planet was beloved for its creativity, gave players the ability to create their own platforming levels, and offered an endless catalogue of player-generated content, as well as levels from the first two installations in the series, the shutdown means that nearly 16 years' worth of user-generated content and millions of levels are now potentially lost forever. Fans have found the decision especially crushing, as there was no chance to try and preserve levels that they have created before the temporary downtime. However, it's not all bad news though, as any user-generated content stored locally is still available, as well as any new UGC created, although it can't be shared. Players, however, can still enjoy the game's offline features as well as the story mode. We don't know exactly how much user-generated content the game had, but Sony shared in February 2017, just 3 years after the game's release, that the game featured more than 10 million levels. It's hard to imagine how many iconic digital relics we've lost now, in what we can definitely dub as a not-so-little gaming tragedy. Alright, moving on, another day, another unfortunate story about layoffs. GTA 6 publisher Take-Two Interactive announced last week that they were laying off 5% of their workforce, that's about 580 employees, and cancelling several projects. This comes as part of the company's right-sizing cost reduction plan, which has seen Take-Two eliminating several projects in development and streamlining its organizational structure. Now, it's currently unknown whether the layoffs will affect Rockstar or GTA 6, with fans speculating that the staff cuts are a result of the game being pretty much completed and the company letting go of contractors and additional staff they brought in to work on it. The highly anticipated sixth installment of GTA has been in the works since 2022, but an official release date has yet to be announced. However, we do know employees at Rockstar are targeting a fall 2025 release. We'll be keeping an eye on the story as it develops. Alright, gonna switch over to Minecraft next, or rather, the upcoming Minecraft movie. Actor Jack Black has all but confirmed he'll be voicing Steve, the game's mascot and lead character of the video game movie adaptation. The casting news was rumoured back in January, but hasn't been officially confirmed until last week, when the actor shared a video on Instagram of him entering a trailer decorated with promotional art of the default character skin and labelled Steve Minecraft. Jack Black, of course, no stranger to video game movies or voice acting. We saw him as Bowser in the Super Mario Bros. Movie, and he'll be voicing Claptrap in the upcoming Borderlands adaptation. The movie cast list also features A-listers like Jason Momoa, Danielle Brooks, Jennifer Coolidge, among others, and will be helmed by Nacho Libre director Jared Haas. Minecraft is slated to hit theaters on 4th of April 2025. Stay tuned for more developments. To round off our news this week, some good news. Bethesda and Tango Gameworks have removed the Nuvo DRM technology from Ghostwire Tokyo on PC. Part of an unscheduled update, the controversial anti-piracy measure was removed without any comments or patch notes from developers, so it's unclear why the tech was removed. Like mentioned, this likely comes as good news to a lot of people, as the Nuvo has been criticized for potentially affecting in-game performance and overall user experience, regardless of whether a game was pirated or purchased legitimately. The software's primary use allows it to keep associated games from being tampered with, and is used by many developers as a roadblock against piracy. When the game Ghostwire Tokyo was released in 2022, it didn't originally come with the Nuvo. The anti-tamper tag was added to the creative action-adventure game almost a year after the base game was released. For now, we don't know how the removal has affected the overall experience of the game, but we'll definitely have more updates as we learn more. Alright, that's all we have for you for this week's news. Back to you, Hanif.
Thank you very much, Daryl. Raya is a time for us to catch up and reconnect with friends and family, which means visiting and hosting a lot of guests. Sure, that time should be spent catching up, and you should. No negotiations. But in the spirit of the show, we also thought that it would be fun to also spend some quality time to also engage in some fun multiplayer video games, Couch Co-op specifically. So here are some recommendations from a friend of the show, Najman Maliki. He'll be suggesting the games that he thinks would be great to play with your guests based on his experience.
Thank you so much for joining me again, Najman. Sama hari raya. Yeah, how's your raya?
It's been okay. It's been tiring, I'd say.
I guess, yeah. I think for us adults, it can be quite tiring sometimes, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's still fun, regardless. Yeah, I hope you had a good one. Yeah, so I think for this particular episode, because we're still in the festive season, festive mood to a certain extent, I think it's worth talking about video games that we can play together, you know, when people come over, right? And this is, okay, we have to perhaps say this as a disclaimer. We're not, quote-unquote, encouraging people to obviously go and play video games when people visit. Obviously, you should catch up and spend time with each other, which is, I guess, the things that we naturally will do anyway. But obviously, you know, especially for people with friends who have kids, especially, and, you know, younger members of the family that come over and visit. Sometimes, you know, especially if they stay for quite a while, because sometimes family tend to stay for quite a while as well, right, at your house and whatnot. Or when you go visiting, sometimes you also tend to, I guess, stay for a bit at people's house, I suppose. It's always good to sometimes find a bit of an activity to do together, right? I think because that's the whole point, right? You know, when you're gathering, you know, of course, you're going to trade stories, you know, catch up. But eventually, you want to do, you know, an activity together that can be done. That's fun, right? So I think these days, again, because we're a gaming show, video games is one medium and platform that can be used to have a quality time, right? And I think we thought of this idea because naturally, I think it's inspired by you so much. I think I have inevitably, indirectly made you, I guess, buy an extra controller in preparation for, I guess, guests that will come to your house. Mind sharing a bit? How did... Yeah, what was the reasoning behind that?
Yeah, so I think prior to Ramadan, just for context, I've got like 9 nieces and nephews. They were looking for a place to like lepak with their uncles and aunties and stuff, right? So I invited them over for sleepovers. They all had fun there. But I only have one controller for my PS5. They were all excited to come and try my PS5, all my nieces and nephews. But I only had one controller, so only recently, as Hanif mentioned, I decided to bite the bullet and get another controller, and it's been great. It's been wonderful. Nieces and nephews loved it.
Managed to put it to good use.
Definitely. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay. So that's basically the inspiration behind, I guess, this conversation today, right? And you know, and when it comes to thinking about games that people can play together, and it's kind of interesting to talk about this, I think, because once upon a time during our era, you know, well, I mean, as in when we were younger, I think couch co-op is, you have more couch co-op than online co-op games, right?
Yeah.
Whereas these days, I think people tend to play games, multiplayer games online. But that doesn't mean that we don't still have good enough couch co-ops available out there, right? You know, one way or another. And I guess we're going to come up with a list. The thing is, some of the games here might be a bit obvious, but with not without good reason, but some are also, I guess, good recommendations, I suppose, you know, maybe hidden gems here and there for you to check out if you want to have a good time with your, you know, family members or friends when they come over and, you know, you want to, you know, I guess, play a bit of video game together as you guys are catching up, right? So let's get into it. The first game is pretty predictable, but at the same time, it's a natural game that I think is the easiest to get into, especially because the learning curve isn't that high as well, right? EA Sport FC or FIFA, you know?
Yeah. Let's call it for what the exact name is. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, this is my number one option at this point. As you mentioned, the learning curve is low. And I think whenever I have friends over, even if they don't know how to play games too much, like they're not a gamer, most of the time they just want to get into the fun, they can just get a controller, immediately start playing, regardless whether you are kaki bangku or you don't know how to play football or you don't enjoy playing football. It's a fun game to play. So the first game that my 9-year-old nephew asked whether I had was immediately, Uncle Chu, do you have FIFA 2024. I mean, he didn't know.
didn't know the name change.
But he requested for FIFA. So yes, definitely top of the list. FIFA would be the one for me.
Yeah, and it's a game that even for kids, you know, your nephew who's 9-year-old, you know, is already able to play and have fun with,
right? Yeah, definitely.
All right, okay, so that's the first one. The second one is, I think, this is my personal favorite. I used to enjoy the older version, and even when it was remastered, I bought it, and it's still as good. Crash Team Racing, yeah.
Yeah, so I think Crash Team Racing Nitro Fuel, it is such a fun game. I grew up with games like this, right? All couch co-ops, like you mentioned, Hanif, where there's the four split screen, you see your own cars, and you're racing with your cousins and family members. It's such a nostalgic game for people like us. And kids nowadays, they really haven't gotten into too much of couch gaming. This is a perfect game. Regardless whether it's a boy or a girl, it's an easy game to be enjoyed amongst all of the age differences, the age groups. A teenage boy wouldn't mind playing this game with his younger sister, for example. So yeah, definitely high recommendation for me there.
Yeah, a game that's pretty accessible as well. And the thing is about Crash Team Racing is that, I mean, it's Crash Team Racing. We're recommending Crash Team Racing because I think we personally have played it and find it quite fun. Obviously, I think it'd be remiss of us to mention Crash Team Racing and not mention its competitor. I think the more famous competitor, Mario Kart. So for people out there who are into that franchise, feel free to, I guess, it's a no-brainer, I think, right? You know, for Switch gamers, let's just get it out there. I think the platform, for Switch platform, you obviously have a lot more couch co-op based games that can be, I mean, used as an option to play, right? Mario Kart, you know, Super Smash Brothers, and then all the other games. I think the Mario Rabbit game as well, to an extent. So these are the options are a bit more, a Mario Party game, so you have a lot more options, especially if you're on the Nintendo platform, to an extent. But I guess we're because we don't really talk about Nintendo's platform that much, so I'm just gonna get out there for people out there, so that we have covered our bases there. Moving on, there's another game, and this game is also pretty popular. I personally have never played it, but I've heard a lot of good things about this game. Overcooked. Tell me a bit more about this. Do you think that this game is quite suitable? Because the kind of stories I've heard about this game is usually tend to skew towards the more super competitive side. So is this game actually, I mean, I'm sure it'll give people a good time, but maybe sometimes can be quite edgy as well.
I think it brings out the true nature in you. So Overcooked is a game where you play as these cute chefs in a kitchen working to basically create meals, prep meals. And the challenges go crazier and crazier as we go along. You can have, I guess, a simpler challenge if you just want to play a simple couch co-op with, you know, kids who don't want to fight. But it sets things in a spicy mood sometimes, and it's interesting to get like people riled up, and it's fun. It's good fun, essentially. It is also on Switch for our Switch listeners who are playing on those consoles. It's such a wonderful couch co-op if you guys are looking to try out something that you've never tried. Very different from the likes of FIFA or even like those racing games like Mario Kart or Crash Nitro Fuel. It's super, how do I put this in a good way? It gets you to be super competitive, right? Because it depends on the team. It works as a team. So most of these games, you're playing against each other. But Overcooked, you're playing as a team. And I think that's where the bit where people get to be a bit rowdy at times, because, you know, if I'm playing with Hanif, I'm a bit slow. Hanif might be like, hey, Naj, come on, pick it up, man. But it's really, really good fun, I'd say. It goes up to 4 players, which is better than like your 2 player couch co-ops. It's really, really good fun on any platform. It gets, players tend to get really loud with Overcooked, I'd say.
Yeah. So because it's cooperative in nature, how kid friendly it is?
Yeah, so it's really kid friendly in the sense that, okay, in two sense, right? In the sense that you can play the quote unquote simpler versions of that game, can amp up the difficulty as well, plays more challenging maps. But if you want to go for a very simple, chill map, there's also that option. But also, at the same time, the visuals and the movements are very simple. They essentially just use your D-pad to move around, and there's at most 3 buttons to press, but most of the time you're going to be pressing just 2. So it's really kid-friendly. It's really easy for anyone to just jump in and start playing. And I think aside from it being kid-friendly, I think it's also good to note that it's friendly for people who don't have a console. It's friendly for people who never have touched any games before. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very important in hosting a nice get-together with games.
Mm, all right. Another one is another interesting choice coming from you. I'm not surprised, but at the same time, I wonder whether it's also friendly for family, quote-unquote. Mm. Diablo 4, yeah. Tell us a bit more about this game's multiplayer feature.
Right. So for Diablo 4, it's only available on, at this point, Xbox and PlayStation, not yet on Switch. But it is a couch co-op. It plays up to 2, a maximum of 2 players. But one of the great things is that it's a nice hack and slash, right? As the name suggests, you would imagine it's not kid-friendly lah. And I'd say, depends on the parental guidance. If you are cool with your kids going at it with some demons, let them have at it. But if you're not, then it's a game for the adults to enjoy. It's not an extremely time-consuming game. You can just jump on and start playing with your friends. It would be playing throughout the campaign from the start. And it's good fun. It's good fun for us to just go around and bash things, and that can be your social lubricant. Going around hunting demons and talking about work, I would imagine.
The thing is, okay. So for the games that we've picked so far, the gameplay time isn't as long, right? So that's the whole appeal of, I guess, one of the more important characters that we need to have for this kind of game is that you can set the timer to not be as long, so that people can take turns playing, right? Mm. So with Diablo 4, since it's co-op, story-based co-op, right? Mm. Yeah, wouldn't that also take a bit of time in terms of playing?
Yeah, so it would take a bit more time. So I would suggest this would go for
Smaller group, perhaps.
Smaller group. And who are looking to chill for a longer period of time. And once you've ended playing on that character, you can actually, you know, take it offline and play it on your own if you want to. But yeah, it does take a bit more time than the other games on the list.
Mm. All right, yeah. The next game is a platformer. Another iconic platformer. Might be a bit, I guess, old school. Tell us a bit more about this. Rayman Legends. Yeah, what's the multiplayer like?
Right. So in Rayman Legends, it's a proper platformer. The multiplayer allows you to play with different characters in the game. So with Rayman Legends, has multiple characters. But you don't need to, this is another good part as well, you don't need to learn a lot more on how to play games. You can just get one of you or the younger ones in the family to start playing as well alongside you. It's a very nice, I would say, platformer because it's nostalgic, especially for people our age, Ranif. It's a game that we grew up with. But Rayman Legends is a remake of that old classic, right? So when I actually played this with my nieces and nephew and my brother the other day, everyone was interested because it looks so modern. It's colourful. It's wonderful. And it sparks interest in like the older generation who grew up alongside myself, right? My elder brother, my cousins and stuff. We all grew up on Rayman Legends. So instead of just getting the kids excited, we can get like the uncles and the aunties to play the games with their nieces and nephews. And this is a wonderful social lubricant, I'd say.
Continuing the theme of old games, I suppose, or rather old franchises, we also have Worms Armageddon. This is really old, Nash. I understand why you recommending this, but yeah, for listeners out there who's of, I guess, a newer vintage, I suppose, the younger generation, maybe you can tell them why this type of game is also appealing for them, yeah, to try out.
Yeah. So for the uninitiated, Worms Armageddon is a game where you play, it's in a 2D setting, where you'd be on these random islands, and then if you're playing a couch co-op of four players, then it'll be the four of you guys playing with each other, trying to knock out each of the player, either off the island or killing them off. And the weapons that you use in this game is so funny. It is hilarious. And again, you're playing as worms. You're playing as these small worms trying to get around and trying to like kill off each other. It's such a wonderful old school 2D game that I guess is can be as stressful as Overcooked at times. Mm. And it definitely doesn't run for too long, about 15 minutes per gameplay, and it's good fun.
The thing about Worms is that it's a strategy-based game, right? Yeah, where you have to strategize how to attack the other base, right? To some extent. And so I think that's the kind of... we don't see this kind of game that much these days, right? So I'm sure there must be a modern iteration of this kind of game, I suppose. Mm. But although I think Worms Armageddon is a classic. Is this like the latest version of the game?
No.
Is it available on like the latest consoles though?
Yes.
Okay, it's on PS5, but you can meaning that it's a PS4 version of.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I believe it's also on mobile, but I'm gonna check that again. But yeah, it's definitely on PS5, PS4, Xbox. It's such an old cult classic, I'd say. And I think the upside about this game as well is that it's time based. So it is a strategy based game. But before your turn, you can strategize. So every player would have like a few seconds, maybe like 10, 15 seconds to strategize and do something. Within that 10 or 15 seconds, you can actually start strategizing, planning your own schemes and see where you can get to. And I think this is such a magical thing that we don't get nowadays anymore, right? Things that basically slow you down. You have to strategize, you have to think, and just have to wait at times. And again, good social lubricant, lovely way to enjoy times with the loved ones.
All right, so these are some of the games that we have here. And we also have honorable mentions. Can you list some of them?
Yeah, sure. So I've got like three honorable mentions off the top of my head. These honorable mentions are not especially couch co-ops, meaning you cannot play on the same screen, but you definitely can play on like mobile devices alongside the console players. Mm-hmm. So first would be Uno, literally the card game, but the video game version of it. So sometimes it's really hard for me to get like the kids off their screens. This way, at least I get to spend time with them. Hey, look at my game, and we can talk about it. Yeah, Uno is one of them. The second one would be Sky, actually. So Sky is a very nice, chill-ish game that you can play with anyone who don't even know how to play, like, you know, the typical console games. It's a very massively online multiplayer game, so you can actually play it with up to 8 players, I believe, at one time. You can play together, walk together, explore the world together. It's a lovely, fun game. And my last one is, I think any kid would agree with me, Roblox. It's a game that basically allows anyone to play like mini games within Roblox itself. It's huge among kids. So if you guys are hosting and you guys don't know what to put on your consoles, definitely put Roblox on it. Any kid would be happy to play it. All my nieces and nephews were excited to come over to my house to play PS5, but apparently they just wanted to play Roblox, which runs on a very simple UI. But yeah, it's fun. You can play multiplayer with your phones and one player playing it on the PS, so that's cool.
Speaking of Roblox, I've heard a lot about Roblox, but obviously I think I'm not in the target demographic of Roblox. No offense to Roblox. So what's the difference between Roblox and its, I guess, shinier competitor, Minecraft? You know, because I've seen a lot of people play Minecraft as well, but I've seen some people play Roblox as well, but I guess Roblox seems to be the more in-game among kids, I suppose, depending on which demographic.
So for starters, Minecraft is not free. But you have to pay for Minecraft. And Roblox, on paper, is free. On paper. The way they do it is freemium or in-app purchases route. So basically, there are games created by even the gamers themselves, actually. So you can if Hanif can create a game and I can jump into Hanif's game and play that. But the way the developer makes money is by making me interested in buying the cosmetics, and I'll get it. I'll pay for the cosmetics. It's 99% of the time very simplistic game. So you go through like a very simple puzzle, or just moving around like a, in like a Sims based kind of world. The graphics are so rudimentary, for lack of a better word, as compared to like Minecraft. Minecraft looks well polished, very pretty. Roblox looks a lot less pretty, but because of the whole idea of being able to do whatever you want in the world, I think it really jives with a lot of kids. So a lot of kids, regardless of boys or girls, they all like to jump on that world of Roblox. And yeah, can't go wrong with Roblox if you have small kids.
Alright, okay. So these are some of the games that we've listed down for you listeners out there. But obviously, it's not just limited to these games, right? I think
definitely.
I remember going to my friend's house, and I guess to an extent, at the time, we were all looking forward to playing some video games. So we played PS. Fighting games, I think, is also a bit more accessible in terms of, I guess, playing with your friends. Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter,
Tekken,
WWE, to an extent, if you want, I guess, fights that are a bit more technical, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So these are the types of games that I think people will be able to enjoy themselves, right? If they happen to be at someone's place and, you know, want to play a bit of console games, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously, again, don't forget to obviously do the usual stuff, catch up with friends, you know, reminisce, whatnot. But at the same time, you know, yeah, feel free to also just have fun playing video games here and there, right?
Yeah.
All right. And on that note, thank you so much.
Thank you, Anif.
You're tuned into GG Well Played, and that was Najman Maliki, and we've been talking about some couch co-op games that you should check out in case you're hosting some guests over during the Raya period. If you'd like to listen to this episode again, look for the podcast on bfm.my. You can also download our app, available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. GG Well Played's podcast can also be found on Spotify and other streaming platforms. Do share your thoughts and the games that you play via our email, ggwp@bfm.my. Don't forget to also follow the station on X at BFM Radio. My name is Hanif Baharuddin. Thanks for joining us. Game on, and please take care. This has been GG Well Played.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.